Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A huge honor for the state of North Carolina. For the second year in a row, workers flocked to the Tar Heel State, making it the top state for business.
Also, U.S. Marshals arrest a man wanted for murder in Georgia, right here in Raleigh. And our weather pattern changes toward the end of the week. On Thursday, we have a level one risk for severe storms for part of the viewing area and a high heat index. I'll walk you through it.
North Carolina lands a major honor 2 years in a row now. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for NHU. Thanks for joining us. WRAL's Brian Schrader is here with a new report that has more good news for the state's economy. Brian, this is exciting.
It is. Second year in a row, CNBC says that we are the top state in the country for business. CNBC says that North Carolina topped last year's score, and they're looking at factors like our highly educated workforce and how many educated workers are still moving into North Carolina. The study also noted North Carolina's solid economic growth and the healthy housing market. But there are some trouble signs, including concerns over political divisions, inclusion, and health care access. Take a look at the rest of the list. Our neighbors, Virginia, Tennessee, and Georgia, all of them share a border with North Carolina, and they round out the top four. Of course, just last month, Apple filed the applications to get started on its billion-dollar East Coast hub in Morrisville. VinFast and Wolfspeed are working on massive projects in our area as well. So for now, at least, North Carolina's economic boom is rolling on. Now, we're waiting to hear from Governor Roy Cooper. Look for that later today on WRAL News.
A lot going on in our state. Thank you, Brian.
And let's keep that economic boom rolling here in the WRAL Live Center. Major economic news for North Carolina. You can see the headlines right here in WRAL TechWire. Honda Jet to build a new factory in Guilford County. This new plant will generate about 280 jobs. The facility will build the company's new 2,600 longer-range jet aircraft. You see an example of it right there on your screen. The North Carolina Department of Commerce Economic Investment Committee approved an agreement with Honda Aircraft for the site. Guilford County also considering incentives for Honda Aircraft. The Japan-based company plans a $56 million factory to build a larger jet model. Of course, you can read the full story on WRAL TechWire.
Ken, thanks. We have breaking news this noon. A man wanted for murder in Georgia is now in federal custody. U.S. Marshals arrested Lloyd Sally this morning in a southeast Raleigh neighborhood. Investigators say he shot a man to death in Atlanta on January 27th. The motive for the shooting has not been released. We're working to learn how marshals tracked Sally down to Raleigh. Firefighters are investigating a fire at a home on East Pettigrew Street in Raleigh. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey spent the morning at the scene with crews and filed this report.
The fire chief that was on the scene says it wasn't just one home, it was actually two homes that caught flames this morning. I'll step out the way so you can take a look at what I'm seeing right now. The chief says that both homes are abandoned. No one was around when the flames started and no one has been injured. We'll show you video now from Sky 5 earlier this morning. Fire officials say a Durham police officer spotted the fire just after 7:30 this morning. They say there's another house that's behind the two homes that caught flames and they've evacuated the family that lives there just out of an abundance of caution. But we can confirm that these fires are not related. Now, Durham police have blocked off several streets that connect to East Pettigrew Street where both of these fires were. So streets like Plum and Bacon still may be closed. And the cause of both of these fires is still under investigation. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Durham.
We're waiting to learn what caused a tractor trailer to catch on fire on I-95. It happened near Dunn around 9 this morning. Sky 5 video shows a badly torched vehicle there. Southbound traffic was backed up at least 2 miles. No word on charges or injuries.
An explosion tears through a home and investigators are not sure what caused it. First responders arrived at a home on Penny Road after 11 o'clock last night. The windows were blown out. Fire officials told the WRAL Breaking News Tracker there is significant damage throughout the entire home. No one was hurt. Investigators are heading back to that home to better assess the damage and try to figure out what happened. And police in Fayetteville say a fire that left 5 people hurt and forced 15 people out of their homes is likely an act of arson. It happened at the Summertime Apartments. That is on Jeffrey Drive just before 5:30 yesterday morning. Police told WREL they arrested 31-year-old Alan McFadden on a charge of arson. They say all 8 units in the apartment complex are a total loss. One man told us the fire was so bad he had to jump from a second-story window just to make it out. The Red Cross is helping the people forced out because of that fire.
A man is in custody after an hours-long standoff at a Durham apartment complex. Police responded to the Avon Crossing apartments off MLK Jr. Boulevard after midnight. Officers made an arrest nearly 4 hours later. WRL Breaking News Tracker captured the moment the man was taken out of the apartment in handcuffs. Neighbors say they heard what sounded like a gunshot before the standoff started. Police evacuated the building as they worked to reach the man inside. No word yet on what led up to that tense encounter.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, a major penalty for North Carolina-based Bank of America. Listen to this. The company today agreeing to pay $250 million in fees and compensation to settle claims the bank systematically double-charged customers' fees, withheld promised credit card perks, and opened accounts without customers' authorization. $100 million of that money will go to consumers for restitution. The rest will cover civil penalties. Now, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency say the bank violated a number of laws dating back to 2012. If you're a Bank of America customer affected by this, stay with WREL as we follow the money trail in this story.
Following the money trail in the markets right now, Ken, thanks. You see where the Dow Jones Industrial Average has spent the whole day so far on this Tuesday in positive territory, up 241 points this noon. The NASDAQ is also up 56 points at this hour. S&P 500 is up 13.
President Joe Biden is meeting with other NATO leaders in Lithuania today for a key summit that could change the course of the war in Ukraine and reshape the alliance itself. The summit kicks off on a somewhat positive note after Turkey agreed to support Sweden's bid to join NATO after a year of opposition. NBC's Peter Alexander has more on the historic step forward.
Good day to you from here in Vilnius. President Biden is kicking off this NATO summit, White House officials say, with the wind at NATO's back, with Sweden now expected to become the 32nd country to join the alliance. This is a victory for President Biden, who's repeatedly emphasized how Russia's invasion of Ukraine would backfire on Vladimir Putin. The sticking point had been Turkey, that opposed Sweden joining the alliance. Overnight, we saw that Turkey abruptly reversed course, allowing Sweden to join that military alliance. The United States says that President Biden supports the sale of new F-16 fighter jets to Turkey, but the White House insists that that was not a part of any deal. Another major issue to be addressed here over the course of this visit is going to be whether Ukraine is able to join the NATO alliance. President Zelensky just this morning expressed his frustration that he believes that NATO remains unwilling to make his country a member of the alliance, calling that unprecedented and absurd. The president has said that he believes that this NATO summit will come up with language to give Ukraine a clear signal about a path forward to future membership. President Zelensky and President Biden are expected to meet here tomorrow. That's the latest from here in Vilnius. Now back to you.
Senator Tom Tillis from North Carolina is also in Lithuania for the summit. He's the co-chair of the Senate NATO Observer Group. And opposed to social media, he says the group is sending a message that the U.S. stands firmly with NATO allies and partners.
Our weather will not be staying as calm as it is today. Could even be dangerous by the end of the week. On Thursday, we have a level one risk for severe storms for most of the viewing area, along with the potential for dangerous heat. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at this changing pattern. Elizabeth.
High pressure is with us right now, and that is feeding down some drier air, but it's going to move on out and allow the door to open to our next round of thunderstorms. We're going to see a surge of moisture from the south and heat, and so we're back into a really hot, sticky pattern with a chance of some strong storms starting Thursday. This is Thursday morning, and you can see a little bit of cloud cover. Once we get into the early to mid-afternoon, we can begin to see some thunderstorms developing, especially from the Triangle area eastward. It wouldn't be out of the question for some of those to produce some damaging wind, but it's more likely as another system approaches from the west that we'll see that in the late evening and overnight period. That's 8 o'clock, and you can see it's just starting to move into our viewing area. This is as far out as our short range model goes right now, but you can see it will likely carry into the triangle area as we get into 9, 10, 11 o'clock. So we do have a level one risk for severe storms on Thursday. Damaging wind would be the biggest threat, and that's going to be west of the I-95 corridor. On top of that, we're going to see a surge of moisture coming up from the south. Right now, our dew point is at 64, which puts us right there in the nice category, but we're going to see that climbing well into the 70s, making it feel very muggy and sticky and on the dangerous side to be outside. Today's a nice day to be out. You can see the golfers there in Pinehurst, but by tomorrow, it'll feel like 97 in the afternoon, Thursday feeling like 101, and then Friday and Saturday feeling like 110 to 113. And at that point, we could have a heat advisory posted. We'll continue to follow this as we get closer to the end of the week.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. The Powerball jackpot is growing again. No one matched all five numbers in the Powerball in last night's drawing, and that means tomorrow night's drawing will be worth $725 million. That is the seventh biggest jackpot ever. So be sure to check your tickets from last night, though, because four people in North Carolina, they won $50,000 by matching four numbers and the Powerball. Those numbers are on your screen. They're 2, 24, 34, 53, and 58. The Powerball was 13. And tonight's Mega Millions jackpot, also a big one, $480 million. You can watch that drawing tonight, right before our 11 o'clock news on WREL. Tomorrow night's Powerball drawing will air at the same time.
Next at noon, the family of a Tennessee man shot and killed by police wants answers. What they're asking from law enforcement after the death a block from his home.
Also, spectacular video of a lava flow in Iceland. What experts say caused this eruption.
Plus, classes started today for year-round school students in Wake County. The new rules greeting students and visitors when they got there.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The family of a man shot and killed by a Tennessee deputy is demanding more transparency from the sheriff's office. Attorney Ben Crump is representing Jarvian Hudspeth's family. And as Bria Bolden reports, Hudspeth died just a block away from his home.
Don't say no more. Just release the video.
It's been just over 2 weeks since 21-year-old Jarvian Hudspeth was shot and killed during a traffic stop with the Shelby County Sheriff's Office deputy in Raleigh. His family and attorney Ben Crump want video of the incident released.
This is a golden opportunity to build trust with the community by letting us see what happened to Javion.
Hudspeth's mother, Charlotte Haggett, says she was originally told by investigators her son had died in a car accident. She buried Jarvian over the weekend.
I'm still to this day waiting on my son to come home. I heard anything about what happened to him. I just want to know what happened to him that Saturday when he walked out that door at 8:30 in the morning and he never returned home again.
The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation says the shooting happened at 9 a.m. on Rosswood Drive. Investigators say a deputy approached the car Hudspeth was in and then tried to stop him from leaving. The reason why the deputy approached is still under investigation. The TBI says the situation, quote, escalated, and Hudspeth drove off and dragged the deputy 100 yards. At some point, the deputy shot at Hudspeth. He died on his way to the hospital.
And it is just devastating that our children keep getting killed in these highly questionable circumstances by the people who are supposed to protect and serve them, and they are so close to home.
Crump says Hudspeth died just a street away from his home. The identity of the deputy accused of shooting and killing Hudspeth has not been released, but Crump says witnesses at the scene say the deputy is white.
It doesn't matter to Miss Charlotte. The pain doesn't change because the person, the trigger who killed the child was a black hand or a white hand. It's pain all the same.
That was Bria Bolden reporting. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation condemns Crump's statements as a cheap political stunt.
A new powerful drug is increasingly to blame for overdose deaths across the United States. The White House is taking aim at a potent veterinary drug called xylazine. It is usually found mixed with other illegal drugs like fentanyl. Doctors say xylazine lowers a person's blood pressure, breathing, and heart rate to unsafe levels. And the drug complicates efforts to reverse opioid overdoses with treatments like Narcan. A spectacular lava flow is occurring in Iceland after a volcano erupted near the capital. Lava and smoke began spewing from the side of a mountain, creating this spectacular view as that lava flowed down the mountain. More than 47 earthquakes were recorded near Reykjavik Monday. The seismic activity set off that eruption. People there have been told to stay away from the volcano and not stop their cars to see the eruption.
A game prize that exploded in popularity last summer is back with an expanded family. And unlike real seagulls, they're not ruffling any feathers. Sonny the Seagull loves fries, but he won't swipe yours. The inspiration came from the son of a games manager. Along the New Jersey boardwalk, there are Sonny copycats with a number of knockoffs sold in stores. There's even Sandy, a female seagull.
The seagull's such a staple on the boardwalk. Everybody's always running from them.
We love them. We've been trying to get them since last year.
I like plushies, and I thought everybody would like the seagull plushies.
They're so cute. The Morey's organization did not design a patent for the original Sonny because they had no idea how popular he would become. The newer versions cannot be copied.
While we're on the topic of seagulls, we just couldn't resist the opportunity to replay this video from last week.
Okay, Renee and Jeff.
Kat, sorry for all the commotion during your weather. We got a friend. We have a friend.
You're looking live at Hampton Beach in New Hampshire.
That was so cute.
During Kat's weather, a bird, that seagull right there, flew right over to the live camera on a beach in New Hampshire, decided to hang out there for a little while, long enough for Renee and me to take some pictures and entertain our news crew. We haven't seen it since. It sure did provide a lot of laughs, though.
It wanted some airtime. Yeah. I mean, I said, hey, here's my opportunity for my up close and, you know, personal, and here we go.
There he was. Just hanging out.
Very cute.
Nice beach in New Hampshire, too. It looked like no seagulls in Dix Park.
No seagulls in Dix Park. There are seagulls probably at Wrightsville and Carolina Beach, though. We'd like to be there with the seagulls, but we're not. We're here in Raleigh. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner here with a look over Franklinton. It's a nice day for the beach.
Yeah, and don't y'all wish that we had come up with a seagull plushie idea?
Yes.
I mean, it's always something simple like that, right? But here we are, enjoying the day, of course. This is a live look at Franklinton, and we're seeing some big puffy cumulus clouds. We're not likely to see any rain coming out of those clouds, but they will continue to build through the afternoon. And by Thursday, we are likely to see those storms, as we talked about at the beginning of the newscast. Right now, it's 85 degrees, so we're warming up fast, but our dew point's at 64, which kind of is of a middle-of-the-road dew point. We're going to see that dew point creeping up a little bit tomorrow and then just skyrocketing on into the 70s. And when our dew point is in the 70s, it feels oppressively hot. It's that July, August, you know, just kind of stay-inside sort of weather. And that's what we're headed to in the next couple of days. We'll see highs in the low 90s for this afternoon, and even once you get home from work, temperatures will still be in the mid-80s. But again, with a lower dew point, today will feel more comfortable than any other day in the next 7 days. 81 is our temperature in Roxborough, 87 Fayetteville and Rocky Mount, 86 in Clinton, and 85 in Southern Pines. Around town, 92 in Raleigh, 91 in Durham, and 92 in Fayetteville for our highs this afternoon. Right now, we're sitting at 64, which is on the high end of tolerable. You know, we had so many days in May and even in June that were comfy to refreshing, but typically when we get into July and August, we're up there at steamy or tropical for most of the month. As a matter of fact, we're looking at tolerable today, but then steamy tomorrow and tropical Thursday and Friday, and that means our dew point will be into the 70s, and it just feels oppressively muggy and can be dangerous too. We may have a heat advisory posted for Friday and Saturday. How many days do we normally see this really high summer humidity? 24 days in July is the average for that tropical level, and 22 days in August. But September, it really backs off. So about 6 more weeks where we'll have a lot of days in that tropical zone. But, you know, then we'll be done with it. For tomorrow, looking at a heat index of 97. The heat index today is likely to be around 92. That's still plenty hot, but better than what's coming. It climbs to 102 on Thursday, then 110 on Friday and 113 on Saturday. 105 is the criteria for a heat advisory. So it is likely that we'll see a heat advisory Friday and Saturday. And then we may see that continuing on through the weekend and into early next week. Our temperatures today feeling nice for the pool, especially since it's not going to be so humid out there. Our temperatures by the evening around 8 o'clock down to 81. And it is a Tuesday. So a lot of folks will be out at swim meets. We're looking at the potential for above normal temperatures as we get toward the second half of July, the 16th through the 20th. We have a good chance of above normal temperatures. Our normal right now is 91. So 92 is above normal, and then we're just going to hold it there in the mid-90s all the way into early next week with that high humidity. With that extra moisture, we'll also have a better chance for scattered storms. We talked about Thursday as a level one risk. We're going to talk about our potential for Friday and into the weekend, too, coming up.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Rescue teams from across the country are in the Northeast today as the region continues dealing with that historic flooding. More than 50 people have already been rescued in Vermont. Ahead at 5, video from the hardest hit areas and what's ahead for the communities that are caught in the floodwaters.
Then at 5:30 this evening, summer means also bug season, and 5 on Your Side shows you which insect repellents are the best at keeping those pests away.
Happening now in the WRA Live Center, a major recall to tell you about this noon hour. More than 131,000 Ram 1500 pickup trucks are being recalled. Only trucks equipped with the 5.7-liter V8 e-torque mild hybrid engines are included in this recall from the model year 2021. Apparently, the trucks can suddenly stall while driving, which could cause a crash. Ram says the problem is due to faulty engine software. So if you own one of these trucks affected by this recall, just take it back to the Ram dealer. The dealership will upgrade at no charge.
People could soon be getting a break on credit card late fees. The Consumer Finance Protection Bureau is proposing big cuts on late fees to people who don't pay proportional or minimum payments on credit card balances. The agency wants those charges trimmed back to just $8 per violation. It estimates changes could save people up to $9 billion a year. The Bureau is reviewing public comments before deciding what changes should be made. Inflation may ease, but not soon enough in the minds of consumers. A recent survey found Americans expect high inflation for a few more years, even if inflation drops in the short term. People expect inflation to hang around 3% 3 years from now. The Federal Reserve raised interest rates 10 straight times before a June pause to try to keep inflation in check.
The Federal Trade Commission is cracking down on telemarketing scammers over claims made on auto warranty coverage. The FTC fined the American Vehicle Protection Operation $6.6 million and banned them from the extended auto warranty industry for life. The agency says the operation scammed consumers out of millions of dollars from 2018 to 2022 by making illegal calls and bogus claims about bumper-to-bumper warranties. A phone that can be fully repairable by its user is coming to America. Fairphone is known for using environmentally friendly materials for its products. It's partnering with a digital privacy company named Murena to release the Fairphone 4 in the U.S. The smartphone is available for $599 or $679, depending on gigabytes storage. The phones come with an Android operating system that is Google-free and has its own app store.
An inmate assaulted by an officer, and it's all caught on camera right there. What we have learned about the investigation into this case.
Plus, it's the first day of school for thousands of Wake County students. The new changes that greeted them this morning when our news continues. And before we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Federal prosecutors say a Warren, Michigan police officer violated the civil rights of a man in police custody last month.
Victor Williams reports prosecutors say no one is above the law.
This case involved a gross abuse of citizen civil rights by a police officer.
U.S. Attorney Don Eisen announcing criminal charges in what's now being called a civil rights violation case involving former Warren police officer Matthew Rodriguez.
One of the top priorities for the Department of Justice is protecting civil rights, and that includes protecting the civil rights of the accused.
The now fired officer is being charged with depriving those civil rights when allegedly assaulting carjacking suspect Jaquan Smith under the color of law, something that's considered a major felony.
Everybody who engages in violent conduct and other conduct, illegal conduct, be it civilian or police, you will be held accountable.
Macomb County Prosecutor Pete Lucido also at the press conference calling the incident a travesty of justice.
It gives a black eye to all law enforcement, and it gives a black eye to the ones that try to do their best every day.
In the meantime, the Warren Police Department is condemning what took place.
The actions of Rodriguez goes against every aspect of the Warren Police Department stands for. This is not what police officers do. This is not what who police officers are.
Commissioner Dwyer hoping the relationship between the community and police will someday be healed.
It is my hope that the public does not associate every Warren police officer with the embarrassing actions of Matthew Rodriguez.
We are trying to build trust in the community in a number of ways, and this is a part of it, letting everyone know that no one is above the law.
It was hard to watch. That was Victor Williams reporting. Rodriguez will make an initial appearance in federal court later this week. The investigation continues and additional charges are possible.
Northwestern University is in the market for a new head football coach. The university fired Pat Fitzgerald after a lengthy investigation into hazing in the football program. An investigation began after the 2022 football season, which revealed a pattern of hazing in the university's football program. Fitzgerald has said that he was caught off guard by the firing. A legal expert in hazing says he believes the school should have been aware.
What's clear to me in reading the page and a half summary released by the university is that the school knows that it could have and should have been aware of what was going on in the locker room.
Fitzgerald says he is retaining legal counsel in the case and that he intends to, quote, take the necessary steps to protect my rights in accordance with the law.
We're waiting for officials to release the name of a missing boater who was found on Falls Lake following a 30-hour search. Crews recovered the man's body last night. The Wake County Sheriff's Office says he had been on board one of two boats that crashed on the water Sunday afternoon. All this happened as severe storms moved through our area. First responders say two others were on the boat. One of them was not hurt. The other was rescued and taken to the hospital. They say this serves as an important reminder about safety.
We just want to remind everyone that when you are afield on the water, please wear your kill switch and any kind of PFD that you have on board. That helps prevent a lot of incidents like this.
Officials say at least 10 agencies were called in to help recover the man's body. The search area spanned more than 70 acres on Falls Lake.
Thousands of students and teachers are back in the classroom today as year-round schools start again in Wake County. WREL's Laura Levine was there as students arrived at one school and shows us the new rules aimed at keeping students safe.
It's back to school for more than 30,000 year-round students here at Wake County Public Schools. At Carpenter Elementary, staff were thrilled to see students get dropped off today. We spoke with the principal who says even though it's only been a little over a week, it still takes a lot of preparation to bring students back inside the classroom.
Year-round school, we haven't seen them in so long. It's been like 6 or 7 days.
Good morning.
About 700 students were dropped off and walked through these doors at Carpenter Elementary School, greeted with high fives and big smiles.
What are you most excited for this year?
Probably new teachers, new friends, and I'm in a new hallway. Hey.
They were welcomed by staff as well as students from North Carolina Central University.
Have a great day, man.
Under the Marathon Teaching Institute program. This school year will be the first time Wake County is using its new visitor management system. All visitors will need to be screened in the new system, which checks for recent custody orders, protection orders, and sex offender registries. Principal Faye Jones says she feels comfort in the extra layer of protection.
And now we've got the capability for them to put their driver's license in and check those contractors and those vendors right there and match it, you know, with the offender registry and make sure that they're all clear. So our staff and our parents are excited about the system. It is, you know, a good safety mechanism.
Today, Track 1, 2, and 3 are back in the classrooms. Track 4 will begin school on July 31st. Laura Levine, WREL News in Mooresville.
Year-round students will also notice their lunch prices are now 25 cents higher. Full-paid lunch will cost $3.25 for elementary students and $3.50 for middle and high school students.
We've seen them here on WREL's Noon News several times, and now a very special group of performers from our area will make an appearance on America's Got Talent tonight.
I got sunshine.
Oh, yeah, that's the 82nd Airborne Band and Choir from Fort Liberty. This video was posted last week by AGT showing the group auditioning with a cover of My Girl. As you can see, the crowd and the judges loved it. Be sure to tune in WREL tonight at 8 to see if they can move past the auditions round. I like their chances. Coming up this noon, a warning to those who use a popular weight loss drug, the deadly consequences it could have.
And get a good night's rest. We hear that all the time, but we'll tell you how less sleep could negatively impact your brain power.
Popular weight loss drugs, including Ozempic, are under scrutiny by European regulators. Those regulators say the drugs may increase thoughts of suicide and self-harm. The review by the European Medicines Agency comes after three case reports in Iceland. Suicidal behavior isn't currently listed as a side effect for the drugs in the European Union. Drug maker Novo Nordisk says it takes all reports of side effects very seriously. If you or someone you know is experiencing mental health challenges or having suicidal thoughts, there is help available. You can contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Just dial 988. You can also visit WREL.com and search Get Help for additional resources in our area.
Pediatricians are sounding the alarm on a rapid increase in kidney stones found in children. Kidney stones among children have doubled from 1997 to 2012. 52% of the cases are said to be in females. A family history of kidney stones, as well as excess sodium and too many sugary and caffeinated drinks, could be to blame. Kidney stones are when urine becomes too concentrated and crystallizes due to concentrations of calcium and uric acid. Older people who don't get enough sleep may actually negate the benefits of exercise when it comes to maintaining brain power. New research says that being tired can actually reduce the benefits of exercise. The study looked at cognitive function in almost 9,000 people ages 50 and over during a 10-year span. And when older people slept less than 6 hours a night, they had the same cognitive function as their more sedentary peers.
All children are happy to have the summer off, but doctors say that's exactly the time of year many children experience lead poisoning. What you can do to increase their safety.
Plus, alcohol and the summer heat can be a dangerous combination. Why experts say you might want to take it easy on the adult beverages.
Okay, so why not this noon on your Tuesday, huh? You're looking live at Carolina Beach and watching WREL News, available on Spectrum and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. A little spot left I see right there. When the weather warms, windows are opened and home improvement projects begin, which can kick up a lot of lead dust. Kids may also become into contact with lead if soil around a home or indoor flooring is contaminated with lead chips or dust from aging homes. Children under age 6 have a tendency to put things in their mouths, and that's a great concern because critical brain development happens at this age. Lead poisoning can have lifelong effects on a child's brain, including decreased IQ and neurological delays. It can also cause bone growth issues and gastrointestinal problems.
making sure that the home is clean as best as we can in the areas where kids are playing on the floor, and trying to reduce other sources of light exposure in the home. So again, you know, trying to keep our windows closed, repainting over any chipping paint, those types of things can help.
Experts advise caregivers keep kids away from areas of the home being remodeled. It's also critical to hire lead-safe certified contractors to ensure everything is handled and cleaned up properly.
Drinking too much alcohol in the summer heat could set you up for some serious health problems. Jackie Abanya shares a familiar warning.
With temperatures heating up across the United States, it's not unheard of to grab an ice-cold beer to beat the heat. But you might want to keep an eye on just how much you are drinking.
The amount of alcohol that any given person drinks tends to be higher in the summer, months like July.
From pool parties to cookouts to a relaxing day on the beach, summer activities can easily become alcohol-fueled events. But health experts warn drinking too much can lead to trouble.
People generally understand the risks associated with, say, drinking and driving, but there are summer activities that also don't mix especially well with alcohol, like swimming.
According to recent data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, among adults and adolescents, alcohol use is involved in up to 70% of deaths associated with water recreation. And while heat waves are dangerous in their own right, adding alcohol into the mix heightens the risk for other serious health problems.
Alcohol, despite being a beverage, causes dehydration. And when that's combined with heat, which can cause sweat, it can actually lead to unexpectedly serious levels of dehydration.
That was Jackie Abanez reporting. To protect your health while having fun in the sun, health experts say to try and drink in moderation. To avoid dehydration, they recommend drinking 8 ounces of water every 15 to 20 minutes.
And this just into the WRA Live Center. Not so good news if you have a DMV appointment this afternoon. This new information just coming into our newsroom, an internet service outage interrupting several DMV offices across central and eastern North Carolina. Lumen Technologies, it's a local telephone service provider, reported the outage approximately around 9 o'clock this morning following an apparent fiber cut between Raleigh and Benson. The outage is still happening, and it's affecting about 30 driver license offices and license plate agencies in portions of the Fayetteville area, the Triangle, the Sand Hills, rural Piedmont, and southern coastal plains. Now, the state DMV will try to attempt to contact the customers, particularly if you have an appointment this afternoon. They'll try to reschedule those appointments. No word yet on when this service will be restored.
What are you doing today? It's a good day to get out, Elizabeth.
It is. Lots of sunshine out there. We're looking at partly cloudy skies in Goldsboro, Durham, Apex, and Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. It's lovely out there. It is going to be a hot day. We talked about that earlier. I'm looking at mid-80s right now. We'll climb on up into the low 90s. This high-pressure system is in control of our weather, at least for a day or so. That high-pressure system rotating clockwise has dragged down some drier air behind this cold front. It's not cooler, but it is drier, and so that drops our humidity, making it feel a little more comfortable. I mean, as comfortable as 92 degrees can feel is what we're seeing today. You can see this band of strong thunderstorms that moved across parts of Oklahoma and southward overnight last night and early this morning. We're going to see more of these disturbances starting to move into our area beginning on Thursday. We're going to see more moisture moving in as well. Here's the high pressure system that's been pushing in some drier air, but the green here is not necessarily rain. This is a look at how much moisture is going to be moving up into the atmosphere coming in from the south and southwest, and we'll end up seeing that bumping up our humidity. It's going to feel more uncomfortable, definitely dangerously slow as we get into, say, Friday and Saturday. And there'll be enough moisture around for more thunderstorms. So today and tomorrow are on the dry side with that high in control. But we'll watch that chance increasing as we get into the day on Thursday. And that continues for Friday and Saturday as well. So here's Futurecast. Tomorrow, there's one or two little cells that pop up. Nothing to be too concerned about. And then as we get into the afternoon, around 3 or 4 o'clock, we can see a few cells pop up from Raleigh eastward. And then then a line of thunderstorms back to the west starts to move in overnight. We'll start to see that around 9 or 10 and could continue until around midnight or 1 o'clock. Because of that, on Thursday, west of the I-95 corridor, we have a level 1 risk for severe storms. Damaging wind would be the greatest threat. Because this is going to be coming through as we get into sunset, that might diminish our chance for thunderstorms at least a little bit. But we're looking at a 30% chance during the day Thursday. We're going to bump that up to around 50 overnight, 50 Friday, and 40% chance on Saturday. Also, watching the tropics, things are pretty quiet in the southern half of the Atlantic, but we get up here around the middle of the Atlantic. Right here is Bermuda, and east of Bermuda, this system has a 30% chance of developing in the next 48 hours and a 50% chance in the next 7 days of becoming a tropical depression or a tropical storm. We take a look at our probability map, and you can see that purple area, that's going to be about a 90% chance. So our models, once we get into, say, Friday and Saturday, definitely looking like a pretty good chance that that could become a tropical storm. If it does, the next name on the list is Don. 92 for today, and then we just climb into the mid-90s and hold it there. We start to see more moisture in the atmosphere Thursday into Friday, bumping up our heat index. So right now, Friday and Saturday look like they could be at, say, 110 or so in terms of the heat index. So we're going to be watching that very closely. Could be a heat advisory for the weekend. Looking at that level 1 risk for storms on Thursday, we could see that again Friday and Saturday as well. So it's turning much busier weather-wise over the weekend, and it looks like a better idea to stay inside.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Fan favorites from Disneyland are hitting the auction block. How much one collectible is expected to bring in?
And here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers on your screen right now.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines that we're following today. For the second year in a row, CNBC named North Carolina the top state in the nation for business. The study pointed out solid economic growth, a healthy housing market, and our highly educated workforce. It also pointed out some warning signs saying North Carolina's political divisions are hurting our competitiveness.
Also, Michelle, more major economic news for our state in the last 90 minutes. We learned Honda Jet will build a new factory in Guilford County. The facility will build the company's new 2,600 longer-range jet aircraft and create about 280 jobs.
And North Carolina-based Bank of America will pay $250 million to settle claims it violated a number of laws. $100 million of that will go to consumers for restitution, and the rest will cover civil penalties. The move settles claims it double-charged customers fees, withheld promised credit card perks, and opened accounts without customers' authorization.
You can get your hands on some rare Disney collectibles very soon. An auction house is selling 1,500 Disneyland collectibles. The mass collection includes everything from rides from Disneyland attractions, including the Dumbo car. It's expected to go for up to $300,000. The auction will begin July 17th, corresponding with Disneyland's 68th birthday. Family game night may be about more than just fun. It can be beneficial in helping kids learn math. A new study in the journal Early Years looked at the impact of 25 games on learning. It found board games help kids grow stronger abilities in arithmetic. It says more than 30% of games led to significant improvement in math ability.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is the home run derby champion, and hitting long balls runs in the family. He took the title last night 16 years after his father won it at the 2007 All-Star Game. Guerrero finished his 3 minutes with 17 homers. Then he hit an additional 9 in his 1 minute bonus period, capping it with a 419-foot blast. Vladimir Sr. posted a side-by-side photo on Instagram celebrating his son's accomplishment. So cool. And the MLB All-Star Game will be played tonight at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. You can watch it live on Fox 50. Guerrero and more of the game's best, including Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts, will hit the field at 8 o'clock. Coverage with the pregame starts at 7. Amazon Prime Days and sales from competitors this week will shine a spotlight on Americans' love for buying online. But a possible strike from UPS could make it longer. Could take longer to get your packages. Today at 4, where negotiations stand now and when you could see that impact.
It's a big day, Amazon Prime, and a lot of folks. It's a 2-day event, first of all.
It's
well underway, and the other companies stepping up to play in the game.
Absolutely.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update is coming in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.